T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, please. Free Odyssey, would you? Let's go to St. Louis, George. What's up?
Hi, Todd. I just looked this up. First of all, Biden was not authorized to for student loan forgiveness. And the next question is it a felony to receive stolen money? And the answer is yes. If you receive over $10,000 in stolen money, and that's what this is, it's a felony. If you are a convicted felon, you lose your vote. So if you put all those parts together, everyone who's received and accepted student loan forgiveness over $10,000, you can now be a convicted felon and you lose your vote.
Well, that would assume a lot of things happen that are never going to happen, like someone makes such a decision inside the system and makes those people into convicted felons, which is not going to happen because
it's still a felony.
It may be a felony, but that doesn't mean they are felons, because somebody in St. Louis calls a radio station in Hartford and says they are. Power doesn't work that way. Power does what it wants. 860-522-9842.
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
It's Rant Line time, 860-751-4698. Then at 540, Reese on the radio, because it's Thursday. Reese joins us. Ralph's calling from South Carolina. We take calls as well during the Rant Line time. Hey, Ralph.
How are you doing this afternoon? I hope life's treating you well.
Life treats you as well as you tell it to, usually.
You're absolutely right. The reason I called is the elections in Connecticut this year, and I'm wondering if all the Republicans who are running for those offices are going to ask all the Democrats what number debt, what's the number when we're broke, we're finally done, we're history, and we're bankrupt. And I also would like to know how many illegals will you take in to your home since you support this? And I'm just curious what their answers would be, Ted.
Well, the first question I don't think has the political power that you imagine it does, because only our side understands the dynamic. You know, the left is full-blooded socialist communist, and they believe that the money lasts forever, and the job of government is to spend it on the people who vote for Democrats, and that's how it should work. They're happy with that. They are all charged up. I can't even figure it out. You know, I thought about this morning watching George Stephanopoulos on Good Morning America, and he's pitching a story on the student loan thing. And I'm saying, George, you're a smart guy. You know this is corrupt and destructive to the integrity of the American system of government. Why are you, you know, but he didn't answer. Nobody will answer because they won't understand.
Well, the problem too, Todd, I mean, anybody with half a brain, if you have a credit card, knows there is a limit. Even with government, there is a limit as to how much you can borrow. And that limit is coming up. And I guess my huge concern is your grandchildren and great-grandchildren and children going to be paying this off for the next 100 years, or the country just declare bankruptcy. We're going to go bankrupt, and we'll see you.
I think it's probably the second, but the thing is people don't understand. They really don't, because the media doesn't talk about the debt. Nobody talks about the debt anymore. Republicans don't talk about the debt. As a matter of fact, it's become a political problem, I think, to talk about the debt, because the debt has to do with more deficit spending, and that affects public policy. And public policy, you can't argue honest public policy anymore in an environment where if you mention that we have to cut spending, people are worried about their own ability to survive. So they attack you for suggesting that fiscal responsibility is a good thing. Thank you for the call, Ralph. Good to hear from you. But we're going to play some rants.
Yeah, so concerning the government, best way to describe it is capital F-R-A-U-D, fraud, which stands for forceful, rogue, authoritarian, and undermining dictatorship. Thank you very much.
I love people who can spell and also who can build, what do you call those things? Acronyms? Is that what that is?
Now watching the second crucifixion. The first crucifixion was Christ. The second crucifixion is Trump.
Is Trump?
Like Christ, Trump will come back from the dead and save the country. Thank you.
So Trump is the son of God? Does anyone agree with this? Let's listen to that again.
Now watching the second crucifixion. The first crucifixion was Christ. The second crucifixion is Trump. And like Christ, Trump will come back from the dead and save the country. Thank you.
That's extraordinary. How about that? Anybody agree with that?
Hi, Todd. Well, this afternoon, I was at the pro-life march, and there must have been about 2,000 people, maybe better. And I did not see one news media, not one. But I bet you if it was a pro-abortion, the media would have been all over it. Later.
Oh, I meant to look that up for you. I apologize.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis is going to start shipping his Haitian refugees up to the Cape and Islands, Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard, Nashon.
Nashon, that's John Kerry's island, right? Nashon, isn't that the Forbes family island off of, near Martha's Vineyard?
And why not? Those people, they don't have anything against illegal aliens. There's tons of illegal aliens up there, except that they're all domestic servants, and they're all gardeners and lawn service guys. They love illegal aliens as long as they're holding a leaf blower and a rake and a shovel ready to serve those.
And who would hold a leaf blower if not them?
People that don't know how to do anything for themselves. This is going to fundamentally transform Martha's Vineyard. These are not going to be those docile, tamed kinds of illegal aliens, Haitians and Venezuelans. These are the gangsters. These are the mobsters. These are the guys that are going to be taking over your town for you and showing you what life in Salvador was like during the revolution. Viva la revolución!
Wow, he's even got an accent. The guy can do it all. Aaron's calling from Goshen. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Todd, I have a question. How can we never talk about the Federal Reserve? Because I think it has a core issue with a lot that's going on in our country. I mean, literally, with your Social Security number that you're given, you're treated as a commodity to borrow against, which then, I believe, ties in all the illegals coming here. We have a population density that's about to pass on and move on from life to the next, the afterlife. but we don't have, when we've borrowed and leveraged against those people and their social security numbers, saying that they're going to pay back, they're going to pay it back, right? That's how we continue to run this deficit and debt. But then you get to millennial generation, you get to Gen X, Gen Z.
All right, so you're talking about the shrinking birth rate, and that requires the importation of more people.
Bingo.
So there could be more social security. But why, what about having more people collateralizes the loan? How does that work?
Because the way that the Federal Reserve set this up is that the money that they borrow is leveraged against the population, the people with social security numbers, the amount of people, because we're going to continue to go to work. We're going to continue to generate
money.
Are you saying that the
people who buy our bonds, the countries that buy our bonds, would stop buying our bonds if we had fewer people?
Exactly, because we would default. It would be an insurmountable amount of debt because we don't have the commodity to fix it.
But isn't it an insurmountable? Isn't it insurmountable anyway?
Is it? I mean, because here's the thing: if we're going to bring in and we're going to farm in 100 million people, and we can give them social security numbers and say, hey, they're going to actually continue to work. We're going to be able to take money from them as they work, as the current setup of the Federal Banking Reserve is set up.
Yeah.
Then they can continue to keep going down this farce that we're doing.
Well, even with the importation of large numbers of people, I agree with the premise. I just wonder about the numbers. I think about this a lot, about to what degree can we afford to have the shrinkage in our population, even with large numbers of illegal and illegal aliens, whatever, being brought in. But I do buy the theory that the reason the big government crowd wants those bodies here is to keep the system sustained, whatever the mechanism is, whether it's the Federal Reserve or, you know, just who's going to pay the taxes. We need taxes paid to try to survive, and the Democrats' business model is to bankrupt the place anyway. So thank you for that, Aaron. The reason we don't talk about the Federal Reserve that much is because it's so complex to explain, and people start to glaze over right away, I think. But thank you for that. Jeff in Marlborough. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Todd. I was just calling in regard to your reaction to one of the rant line calls about the second crucifixion.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you were being a little bit overdramatic. I don't know if you were doing it on purpose.
Well, I'm just responding to the level of drama being presented to me, aren't I?
I suppose, but I think what she was saying, it's not the second coming or crucifixion of a son of God, but the crucifixion of a character who could save this country. He's not going to save all of mankind. He's been crucified, quote unquote, in the legal system, and he will prevail and he will help this country. He's not here to save mankind.
Okay, gotcha. So he's not the Messiah, but she's using that metaphorically.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, don't you? I mean, I know you're smarter than that. That sounded a little tongue-in-cheek to me.
Well, it was a little tongue-in-cheek, but she was being so dramatic about it. I mean, it's just an over-the-top statement to me to compare anybody to Christ, but except in the most abstract way. But Donald Trump, I think, would buy that on a literal level for himself, and that's the part of it that is problematic for me. Thank you, Jeff, for the call. 860-522-9842.
Hey, Todd, I'm calling because I'm actually a little bit surprised. I've been listening for years, and I always thought you played all of the rants from beginning to end. It didn't pick and choose and edit. And you just played my rant and cut the last part of it out and picked and chose what you wanted. And
yeah, there was no planning to that. First of all, I don't play them just straightforward all the way through. That was an assumption that you just assume, not knowing how it works being on my end of things. But, you know, I've got time constraints. So yesterday I was just rushing through and trying to get the essence of Ranson. I wasn't trying to deny you your statement, and perhaps I clipped it unfairly, but I was doing that just in the spontaneity of the moment, trying to get enough rants in so that people wouldn't be too mad at me for not having paid them more mind yesterday because we had such a good conversation going.
Made it come out really dumb, and I'm surprised by that, truly. I called about Trump and his bloodbath comment and Chinese cars, and yes, it is about Chinese cars, and yes, his comment about bloodbath was pertaining to if China gets to sell cars in the U.S. That's what it was about. We're going to have to agree to disagree, I suppose. Still a loyal listener, but I'm really, really surprised.
Don't be surprised. That's how it works. We have to, our job is to entertain, and we have to fit the clock, the schedule that we're on, and sometimes those things lead to those kinds of distortions. I apologize, though, for not letting your full thing play. Let's talk to Beth next on WTIC. Hi, Beth.
Hello, how are you? Yeah, just following up with the two people, that particular person as well. It always appears to be on your show whenever Trump comes up, you obviously really have a dislike for him. I truly, in my heart, with my common sense, know she wasn't thinking that he's really the son of man. And I'm not going to get into Donald Trump's head and assume he thinks that he's going to save the world. But I think he knows that he loves the country and wants to do his part. He had a great life. He didn't need to take – he is being crucified. We use that term all the time. I have people all the time that I know go, poor Trump. What are they doing this time? The Russian hoax. What's this? He's a racist for 40 years. He was never a racist until he said he wanted to close the border and vet who's coming in for our safety. So we're getting sick and tired of watching all of the two-tier system going on here.
No, that part I understand, and I share that frustration with the way he's been martyred by the left. You know, they're trying to commit a political assassination, and it's getting down to the wire, and they're pushing harder all the time. I just think it's a mistake to go into those kinds of metaphors. But, you know, it's not a big deal to me, and I was just, you know, being a wise guy about it.
Okay. Well, anyways, I use that term, and I believe, you know, my savior is only one savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't take offense to it because I know she's not saying it that way. It's just like you said, a metaphor, because we've just seen so much happen to him. And it's just not, it just feels so unjust. It's unjust to him. It's unjust to the rest of the country. Because
agreed.
Any one of us could have this happen to him. All right, thank you for your time.
That I agree with. Thank you, Beth, for the phone call, for you taking the time and putting in the effort.
Hey, Todd, I'm listening to you have the guy that sometimes guest hosts for you. I can't remember his name. Michael, I think it is.
Michael Harrison.
And I remember when the whole COVID thing was going on, how he was a hardcore guy to take the vax. Well, now that the evidence, and you've had Harvey Risch on your show, what does he have to say now? Does he correct himself? I mean, I'm so curious. These people, like, forget, like, what they did, and they don't ever talk about it. They figure if they ignore it, it'll go away. Look at Fauci. See ya.
Yeah, Fauci is different from Michael Harrison, though.
Hey, Todd, looks to me like the media is running cover again for Barack Obama, who has been out of office now going on 8 years. But our former president just paid an impromptu visit to the prime minister of Britain, of Great Britain. Why was that, Todd? Why is Barack Obama meeting with the prime minister of Great Britain and an impromptu meeting? Does it have something to do with the LNG contracts that Biden canceled and now that Europe has to continually buy natural gas from Russia? Is that part of it? Or maybe because John Kerry, Todd, John Kerry, who now has left the climate position, climate czar position, to work on Biden's campaign.
I also clip. I do. I have to sometimes for going on way too long because we've got to get to the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Andre in.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
For Mark Christopher today, go ahead, sir.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
It is WTIC. Thanks so much for being here. Let's talk to Al and Merritt and Reese on the radio coming up in a few minutes. Hey, Al.
Hey, how's it going? I saw something on the web that shocked the ever-loving hell out of me the other day. It's a three-way race now for the presidency. I couldn't believe it. Biden has about a third. Trump has about a third. And this is the one that scares me because I'm in this class. Neither. A third of the people that polled said they wouldn't vote for either one. And I just said to myself, it's a shame now that there's not an independent party right now that could gain traction and jump into this race and possibly even win.
Yeah, well, there may be one because, you know, that's what Bobby Kennedy Jr. is trying to get going for himself, an independent run, and there are other independent runs. And this just could be the moment that one of those people fills that void enough that people are going to go vote out of protest, not worrying about whether he wins or not.
Well, it's a very good possibility. I remember it happened before. I think it was, Russ Perot was one of them.
Russ Perot, yeah.
And there was another independent candidate. He got like 20% of the vote.
Oh, Anderson, John Anderson, yes. Somebody back in the 70s, was it, 80s?
Yes, and he got enough to get his money back from the presidential campaign funds. And interesting, I don't know if we've got anybody out there right now that's got the traction, the capability, and the following to, let's say, fill up that one-third that's now just a big void. I don't know. I don't see anybody, even Kennedy.
What normally does happen, though, as the election gets closer, people start to commit to one of the two major candidates because that's just everybody thinks the purpose of their vote is to be siding with the winner as opposed to expressing themselves on who would be the best choice.
I don't know, but I think it's for the first time, I can honestly say, in all the years I've been alive, I think it's the first time we're actually ripe for a third person to just jump in there and say, hey,
I think so. Yeah, I think we're pretty ready. And that's what is appealing about Bobby Kennedy Jr. for me. Not that I match up with him and not that I think he's a great choice for president, but I feel that we have to get out of the political binary, as I was talking about earlier. We have to stop being manipulated by believing them when they tell us you've got to vote for the winner. You've got to vote for the Republican or the Democrat. And because it's a binary, they just point the finger at the other one and say that you have to vote for us because that person is so evil. And that trick causes us to not be thinking about what's best for America anymore, but beating the other side becomes our priority. And we forget all about America. Cumulatively, over time, the effect is they keep robbing us of our country. And that's a big problem to me. 860-522-9842. Reese checking in after we get ourselves a traffic and weather together on the 8th. We're going to the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center for a report from Andre now.
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
Well, it's WTIC. Good afternoon. Do we have Reese? He's coming. He's coming, but he's not yet arrived.
Hey, Todd, it's the proud American patriot.
today's rant is about Adolf Trump. Have you noticed Fox News and this radio station completely avoid Trump's latest blunder about saying if Jewish people vote for Democrats, they hate Israel and they hate their religion?
That's not what he said.
I mean, this.
All right, Reese, go ahead, react.
That's not what he said.
What did he say?
That said, he said that he finds it unfathomable that anyone would vote for the Democrat Party and support Israel at the same time, which I think is a fair assessment.
It's
not
only
a fair assessment, but if you know anything about some of the, I'd say, the political side of Jewish people in New York City, and I should know, I married two Jewish women and went to synagogue regularly.
Wow, they went along with that idea, the polygamy thing?
Yeah, well, no, not at the same time. But bottom line is that when you talk to Jews in New York City, and that's specifically who he's talking about, is guys like Chuck Schumer, often make it very clear that they may celebrate their Judaism, but they run complete opposite of the ideology of the Israel state. Many people, as far as New York Jews go, and a lot of Americanized Jews, have a problem with people like Bibi Netanyahu and Sharon, people who refused to have a two-state solution because they know that they can never have a two-state solution with a group of people who wish to annihilate them. There is no peace. So when Donald Trump brings that up, people are saying that it's a faux pas. It's not a faux pas. It's an actual fact, and people are pretending that what Chuck Schumer said wasn't running complete counter to support of Israel full-throated. He's trying to have it both ways. He's trying to, and Donald Trump made this clear in his conversation with Sebastian Gorka. He wishes to have it both ways. He wants to keep those quote-unquote Palestinian voters at the same time say that he supports Israel. Well, unfortunately, under these circumstances, you can't have it both ways because those pro-stout Palestinian people who are screaming from the river to the sea, that only means one thing. That means Israel must be annihilated.
Yowza, are you charged up this afternoon?
Well, with all due respect, I'm just, and I don't mean anything against the caller. It's just, this is personally to me, right? It's this particular point of view that suggests that you can do both at the same time under these circumstances. Here's what you can't.
You mean
to
be on both sides?
Like,
So how do you, as, because I think about this with Jewish people all the time, that they are so sympathetic to Palestinians and so torn over the loyalty they feel to Israel, because that's what my experience is, that most Jews feel incredible loyalty to Israel and feel heartbroken over the Palestinians, and that's a conflict that they have to live with. But then when it gets externalized into politics, they go and support Palestinian supporters and who are 100% that Israel is evil, Palestinians must be protected. It just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense because when you talk to these people who talk about how, you know, they wish to support Palestinians, look, I'm not saying that you shouldn't support respectful and law-abiding and decent people who call themselves Palestinians. That's not the case, right? But go into this with a monocum of an iota of understanding who the people are. When you talk to those people today and ask them who would they vote, let's say we get rid of Hamas, who would the people of Palestine vote for to run their government today? We know that the numbers are overwhelmingly for the Palestinian state or for Hamas again. So you have to ask yourself, is this a self-fulfilling prophecy or do they want peace? One or the other has to be true. And people don't have the guts. They don't have the guts to say that there are people who live in the so-called Palestinian area who wish to annihilate Jews and trying to. It's like people who say that everyone who comes across the border is an asylum seeker. How do you know that? What, because they tell you to repeat it ad nauseum? You don't know what those people are coming here for. You don't even know them. So you're under the impression you haven't talked to Palestinians, you haven't been to the so-called Palestine, you know nothing about the region, you just know that there's a couple of people upset on Fifth Avenue holding up a sign. That's it. Get involved, find out what the truth is, and then come back to me and tell me whether or not you feel the same way. Talk to an actual Palestinian, right? These quote-unquote queers for Palestine. It's like blacks for the Klan. These people are like chicken for KFC. They make me laugh. You know, you don't understand who these people are who wish to annihilate Israel. You don't.
The only thing I would question is, I was talking to somebody who visits Israel all the time the other day. And he was, I asked him how upsetting did he find it that so many Jews are supportive in this absolutist way of the Palestinian cause. And he just went off on a big rant about it. But one of it was, you know, when you're in Israel, one of the things you realize is that Palestinians are part of Israel. Mm-hmm. And that there's like 20% of the population is Palestinian citizens of Israel. He said, when we're there, we're with them every day. We get mm-hmm. along great. They're functional members of our society. They are Israelis. And so I'm not sure that there is the inability to function together so much as there are governments. And again, this is to me people in power and how corrupt they are, that I think Netanyahu is trying to save his political career by being as hard line on this as possible, and that the Palestinian leaders do the same thing, that both power structures thrive on permanent state of war.
And I do believe that, you know, and sadly, we have to accept the fact that this region may never be at peace ever, primarily because, you know, one, a ceasefire is where we were on October 6th, and then October 7th happened. And now people are asking for another ceasefire for what? For us to wait around a couple of years for them to break it?
That's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous to look for a ceasefire now. Exactly. I understand that people are horrified by what they see, but without resolution, a ceasefire just prolongs the agony.
Yeah, but we also have the regions around them. See, this is the part that I don't seem to understand, right? People say that people in Palestine are living in an open-air prison. Well, if you can name another Jewish state surrounding so-called Palestine, okay, and then say that those people are oppressed, then I would agree with you. But guess what? There's only one Israeli state. Palestine is surrounded by Muslim nations. Muslim nations, Jordan, Lebanon, they're all over the place. Egypt, they're all everywhere. Ask any one of those, Saudi Arabia, they're all there. Ask them why they don't help the people of so-called Palestine. Why don't they help them? Why haven't they financially supported 2.5 million people in that region so that they don't live in an open-air prison so that they're all prosperous? It's only 2.5 million people. That's the same population of African Americans in California. Why can't they do it? And here's the reason why. One, because nobody in the region wants to help them either, because they refer to them as, quote, disruptors. That's the president of Egypt, by the way, who said that. The president of Jordan said, we'll never allow them in again. Talking about Palestinians, they share the same religion. They won't even let them into the society, right? No one helps them. Why? Because they are considered disruptors. That's what they say about a group of people. Now, if we say that, we're pushed out of a polite society. They're not all bad. I don't have a problem with them not being all bad. By the way, there are good Palestinians who live inside Israel, work inside Israel. And when they speak up and talk about how great Israel is, they're called Uncle Toms. Please save me this nonsense about you worrying about the people who are displaced in Palestine. Did you care about the Muslims who were displaced in Pakistan? A million of them were pushed out of their homes. Did you care? No, nobody cares. Because again, this is an opportunity to slam Jews, which is always low-hanging fruit for a bunch of people who claim they're not anti-Semitic.
All right, Reese.
Sorry.
Did we push your buttons today?
I didn't even come here for this one.
I know. What did you come here for?
I was going to talk about going to see my DEI doctor.
And what happened when you got there?
Well, no, I haven't seen him yet, but I'm getting ready to go see my dude. You obviously didn't get that. My DEI doctor. It's like everything now is DEI. So now I'm going to see a DEI doctor.
Yes.
And my doctor is 6'3", African-American, He's a conservative African-American man.
Does he have a DEI department?
I'm sorry?
Does he have a DEI department?
No, he doesn't have a DEI department. He is a DEI hire. So
They made a mistake, eh?
Yes, absolutely. Did you hear about this in Washington State? About the
Washington State
and the bar?
I guess not.
Okay,
the lawyer's bar or the drinking bar?
Yes, the bar exam in Washington State. The Supreme Court in Washington State is now ruled that you do not have to pass the bar in order to get a law license.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Apparently, they're following the footsteps of Oregon as well. Now, you know what the reason is. It's like we don't have enough people, you know, in marginalized communities that can become a lawyer. So they're removing the bar exam as a means for you to get your law license. So that they can change that demographic.
Tell me, Reese, how do grown-ups go along with this stuff?
Well, you know what? You've got to consider the people of the people who are ruling in the Supreme Court. I think one of them identifies as a Native American Latino. Another one
But so what? That doesn't make you a moron.
I don't know. Well, this is... There's a lot of identity politics in, you know, Washington State and in Oregon. I mean, I never thought these places were that. When I was a kid, I thought those places were considered like, you know, the country or out west. You know, I didn't know that there was such a leftist ideology in Washington.
Yeah, but Eva, how did the left, you know, people who were liberal used to still be logical? They just thought that government could be kinder. And didn't realize and still I find a lot of people who are really smart people just don't understand what the founders were up to and why what they were creating was essential. That the only way to have a free society, the only way to have a liberal democracy, as they like to call it, is to respect everybody's rights. And those rights find their origins, their foundational power in that everybody gets to live their own life and nobody has the right to the productivity of the other guy to take their money wantonly and use it for whatever you want. And the idea of that smart people, educated people have been so corrupted so easily is just remarkable. It tells us so much about governance and why the founders felt so strongly that they had to be protected from government, that that's the only way to have freedom and to have a happy ending.
I think what happened, and the forefathers could never see this, is that the radicals that they were trying to protect Americans from would eventually be in government, that they would seek out government. That, you know, that was because that was kind of like the move that leftists and sometimes even communists made in the 1970s. You know, some people said we need to be in a position of power. And then what did they do? They quietly and slowly started to infiltrate, you know, the halls of government in locally and nationally. And that's kind of how we got here. And now that, you know, they have that sort of control or that arm of control, you know, they've run amok. Now it's up to the
citizens.
Yes,
but a lot of people, a lot of mature people in positions of power and influence and who have a lot at stake are just going along with it.
Yes.
No, and it's they know it's ridiculous. Why are they going along with it? Well, they're chicken.
That's true. I just said that recently. I was talking about the Fannie Willis case just recently, the Scott McAfee guy. And I said, you know, he was within his right to get rid of her. But, you know, he's like John Roberts, who didn't want to get rid of Obamacare. You just don't want to be that guy. Right. Because you might get some public scrutiny for, you know, whatever, you know, thing that you may have caused that person to have to endure. And it's not your fault. You're just doing what's right. And, you know, as the old saying goes, evil persists when good men do nothing. But people are deciding not to be good people anymore.
It's remarkable how quickly people gave up on goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. It's scary. And, you know, that's, I don't know. But what are you going to do? I'm hopeful that people will push back. I'm hopeful that people will stand up.
Well, there has to be a wake up or we're just going down the tubes quickly. The degree we're being plundered ideologically and financially, it's just picking up speed so rapidly.
I said this about DEI and I equated to this this block when I used to work at U-Haul, this street. And I remember how outraged I was that they wouldn't put a street light there. And someone told me that the city council wouldn't put a street light there until they had 6 deaths on that street corner. And
I was like, wow. That's how compassion rolls,
right?
Eh?
So in my head, I'm going, so you need 6 people to die in order to get a street light. So in my head, I'm sitting there going, maybe that's what we need in DEI for government to recognize it. Maybe DEI and the FAA will finally cease to exist once we have a bunch of people falling out of the sky.
That's pretty remarkable. All right, Reese on the radio.com. There's no Mark Christopher today. Andre is here in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. If you want to introduce him for us,
I would love to. Let's go to our esteemed fill-in for the BPS Traffic Center.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.